the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor here at Hope on the Beach Church. We're excited you're here with us, and just as a reminder, as we gather here, this is a no-judgment zone. This is a place of God's grace that we come, and just as we are, and He loves us, and we love one another, and we're here to support and encourage one another as we seek together the Christ child who's come to us. We do love to recognize your presence with us, and in your worship folder is a little connection card. It looks like this. It'd be so kind to fill at the front. If you have any prayer requests, we'd love to pray for you, or any things that we could do to help out and help you in your walk, we would love to be part of that. You know, during this Christmas time, Christy keeps getting these dad jokes. And so I thought I could share some dad jokes with you so you would have them to share while you go and gather with other people. And they can groan at you like you're going to groan at me, I know. But how did Scrooge win the football game? Anybody know? The ghost of Christmas past. Oh, come on. You're warming up. That's good. How much does it cost Santa to park his sleigh? Nothing. It's on the house. Why did the candy cane cost so much? Because it was in mint condition. Last one. All right. What did Rudolph say to his wife when a dark cloud started rolling in the sky? Looks like rain, dear. I say those jokes, one, it's kind of fun, but two, you know, there is all sorts of like little stories that go along with Christmas. But there is a main story that makes Christmas, and that's why we gather, the birth of Christ, Christ the Lord. So with that, let us rise and begin our worship together. Heavenly Father, we come to worship you because you came to us humbly as a servant, our Savior. And you are worthy of all our praise. So today, we gather, unite our voices, unite our hearts and spirit in you for the one who is worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Come, all ye faithful, joyful, triumphant, oh come ye, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap? Peace. its word. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
Thank you tonight that you did come, that you came down, became flesh so that we could be saved, God, and we don't ever want to take that for granted, Lord.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadow to fight. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Oh, come, desire of nation pride, of peoples in one heart and one mind. Bid in be strife and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. And rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
So in your worship folder, there's the Christmas story. We put on a little piece of paper, so maybe you can hold it out and keep it centered and read it again this as you focus in Christmas. And so we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told them. You may be seated. As before we get into the message today, I thought it was important just to remind us of one thing that's going on in our community today is that last year on Christmas Eve, we started the Inlet Beach Ministry. We started our first worship service back out there on Christmas Eve. And since then, it went to monthly and then bi-monthly in July. And then eventually, earlier than we expected, we started going weekly in November. And we've had 22 services, average of 65 in attendance, and probably 10 or more baptisms have happened in that ministry. So what a great celebration. What a great story that God is writing here among us. And I thought it was just good that we share in that joy. As one part of our body celebrates, we all get to celebrate together, right? Amen? Amen. So, but the Christmas story, that's what the focus of the day. It's like story time. Story time is a moment when everything seems to slow down. We sit, we listen, and a story unfolds in front of us. But story time is almost a lost practice today. We live surrounded by stories, constant, loud, demanding stories, news alerts buzz in our pockets, crisis headlines scroll on our screens, weather warnings, political outrage, market swings, celebrity drama, and endless streaming shows on all our evenings. Social media algorithms feed us stories designed to keep us anxious, angry, and addicted. Stories, though, are very important. They're an important part of our lives. These stories don't just entertain us or inform us. They shape us. They tell us what to fear. They tell us what to value, who matters, what matters, who doesn't. And ultimately, what or who to believe is true or false. See, stories, they don't just inform us, entertain us. They really shape our thinking. They shape our hearts. Stories disciple us. Today we look at a familiar story, one of the most popular stories there ever has been, the Christmas story of the Bible. And the question today is not whether the Christmas story, you believe the Christmas story exists. You already know it does. The real question is, what kind of story is the Christmas story in your life? What kind of story, and if you're filling out blanks, number one, that top one, what kind of story is the Christmas story in your life? Is it a news story that's interesting yet forgotten as the next news comes along? Is it an information story that it's facts that's just fun to know, but it really doesn't change much? Is it an entertaining story? I mean, it's nostalgic, emotional, good for the season, like, you know, the wonderful life that we see over and over again just helps you get in the mood for Christmas. Is it a fairy tale, sweet and great for the kids, but you grow out of it as an adult? Or is it a religious tradition, something spiritual, a good thing to do and remember, but an optional thing for your life? So this is really important. This is vital of how we answer this question. What is the Christmas story to you? Because the kind of story we believe Christmas is determines what it will mean to you. And whether it will shape your hearts and minds and lives, or it will not. The good news is that Christmas story tells exactly what kind of story it is. If you're taking notes, number one, the Christmas story is God's love story. In Luke 2, 8 to 9, he writes, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Who is telling this story? It's not philosophers, professors, politicians, or even pastors. God sends angels, his messengers. The story is not about humanity reaching to heavens, reaching up to God. This is a story of God coming down to humanity. The angels say, verse 10, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto this day in the city of David is a Savior born of the Lord." This is God's story. He is the author. He initiates. He acts. He brings his story, the good news, a revelation for who? All people, for the whole world. And who is that main character? This one born in the city of David, a Savior, is Christ the Lord. The Christmas story is not first about Mary and Joseph or angels or shepherds or the animals or even Bethlehem. It's about Christ the Lord. Why does God tell us the story? Because long before Bethlehem, something had gone terribly wrong. In the garden, in the very beginning, humanity did not merely just make a poor decision. They broke trust. Humanity broke a relationship with God. They wanted life on their own terms. They wanted to be the author of their own story. And the result was sin, a brokenness that shattered a love relationship that now becomes, instead of characterized by love and joy, is now characterized by fear and shame. It's now filled with the consequences of death and separation from God for eternity. This is what we inherited. And if we're honest, we didn't just inherit this. We've also done this to God ourselves. From the moment on, God has been writing his story. The story of Scripture is a story with one author, who over three centuries and three continents and three different languages is writing a story of love to his people, a story of how he rescues sinners who cannot rescue themselves. Christmas is not God reacting to our goodness. Christmas is God answering our need. The child in the manger is not some sentimental decoration, a philosophy, or a political or social statement. This is God's answer to sin. This is God's answer to our brokenness. This is God's answer to what was not supposed to happen, death and eternal separation. This is God's answer to take care of the devil that tries to enslave us in darkness and divide us from the goodness of God. See, we need a real Savior. It's Christ the Lord, the Prince of Peace. I think so many of us grew up and we used to think that Christ was just Jesus' last name. It's Jesus Christ. Of course, that's his last name, is it not? But what we're reminded here in this chapter in Luke is that these two titles, Christ and the Lord, are given to the Savior. They are titles, they are descriptions of the Savior that makes it very unique and different to the culture of that time. For Christ means the anointed one, the promised one, the Messiah, the Son of God. Lord, well, it's Lord of all creation, Lord of the whole world. Not just like a Lord of Rome, but the most powerful King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is here, who's come, who is able to save you. I know it's a baby. I know it's a child. It doesn't look like much, but here is the announcement. This is Christ, the promised anointed one, who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, this is a significant detail. Because in those days, in the Roman government, they used these titles for their leaders. And so Caesar, especially Caesar Augustus, was referred to as a son of God, was referred to as a savior, as a lord, as one, as a bringer of peace. And they used that divine deity titles in order to control and to try to bring unity amongst the nation. In fact, Augustus had a coin, and on that coin was his face. On the backside was peace. So this makes the story of the baby Jesus deeply countercultural. Because why the government is proclaiming and trying to present itself as the one who can meet your needs, as the one who can be your savior and give you peace, God steps in and points to a baby as the one who truly is the Lord, who is truly the divine Son of God in the flesh, and who can truly bring us peace and be our Savior. It's no wonder there was a massacre of all the children. There was fear. There was a power struggling going on of just the announcement of Christ the Lord. And so this is the contrast. Jesus is not born in a palace, but a manger, but yet proclaimed from the heavens. And these claims are a great contrast to Caesar's claims that this is truly the one. And this is why the angels sing in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest and peace among those whom he is pleased." Because in the Christ the Savior, already God is pleased, and God has put his grace upon him, and he carries his grace in his presence. He comes as his offering to bring peace to you and I. The one who can create peace with God that has been broken and separated. The one who can give us peace to one another. We're reminded again that peace does not come from the absence of troubles on the outside. Peace does not come by looking inside. Peace has to come from God, and God gives the gift of peace. And the Savior has been born to come to us, to give us that peace. See, the Christmas story, again, is a love story. It's a love story for you. Not newsflash that doesn't really change anything, not information that's just interesting, not a fantasy just for kids, not entertainment for pleasure or distraction for something else to do to get out of the stress of life, not merely a religion that's just powerless or has no purpose. It's a story of salvation. God is saving us. God is fixing the brokenness of humanity, our minds, our hearts, our very soul. What we long and cry for in this life is now coming in this child who's restoring our relationship with God and all humanity. Number two, see, the Christmas story then, it warrants our investigation. When the angels depart, the shepherds say, "Let us go over to Bethlehem," verse 15, "and see this thing that's happened, which has the Lord has made known." Notice they did not say, "Let's review and decide if it's true. Let's weigh out our options. Let's search out our feelings to see if it feels right that we should go. Or let's see if it can fit into our schedule of life and or maybe our, in our own understanding and wisdom." No. They go. They just go. Because God has already spoken. Faith is born in hearing the good news and the gospel. It's hearing that leads them to see and experience the Christ child. What a contrast to our world today. For our world to respond and say, this is truth that really defines and shapes my life, we often say, if I can't experience it, then it can't be true. If I can't see it, it can't be true. And yet, what do they have? And what do we see in Scripture over and over again? God speaks. And it moves the people. And he has spoken to them. The shepherds go to investigate, not to create faith, because faith already took hold of them. God had met them in their deepest need, and they have received that salvation. They knew it was truth. They knew it was God, because God spoke it. Think of it this way. When you go to a doctor, and he tells you something's wrong with you, you don't say, hey, well, that's really nice information. Thanks very much, and go about your day. You lean in, you ask questions, and you go, man, what does this mean for my life? The Christmas story is not just a product of information for your best life now. It's a diagnosis with a cure. Scripture is very clear and honest about our conditions. We are condemned sinners. We are children of wrath to God without Christ. It's why we carry so much fear and guilt and shame and pride and anxiety, because we're trying to deal with the sin within on our own ways. Some of us, we carry it and we're afraid that we can't really draw near to God. Many people are afraid to even come to a church building because that represents God. I can't get close. I mean, the building would fall down on me. I'm such a terrible sinner. Some of us go the other way. And we're just so confident we don't need him. We can do it on our own. We have deceived ourselves and justified our own actions and say we're good. And see only the good in us and not the evil that's there. And some of us, well, we carry it by guarding our lives carefully. We guard what happens to us because we like our life. It's comfortable. It's what we know. We're afraid to let God in too close because he might change it up and ruin it. Everything we built. But Scripture has the same diagnosis for all of us. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And exactly that's what Christmas is for. That's exactly who Christ came. Christ does not come for the strong. He came for the weak. He does not come for the righteous. He comes for the sinner. And that's why the shepherds are invited. Not kings, not priests, not scholars, not politicians. These shepherds, these outcasts, these ceremonial unclean sinners, who are the low of the low, the poorest of poor, unfit people to be in the public square or even in the temple. See, the Christmas story can withstand investigation because it's true. It's historically grounded. It's publicly proclaimed, faithfully transmitted. But more important, it's true because God himself spoke it. We're reminded that as Paul writes, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. That's another 3:16 you can memorize real quick. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God spoke it into being. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, it also says, Paul writes, these sacred writings have made you wise for salvation. Paul is saying, look, Timothy, you've heard the sacred writings, which is the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't written yet. And yet, he's saying, in the whole Old Testament, God is speaking, God is moving, God is working, and has brought salvation, made you wise to salvation. That was the purpose, what God has spoke. For there is no life to give life. See, the Word of God does what it says it does. It does not return void. The Word of God spoke into the darkness and created the world. The Word of God created life out of nothing, and it creates life in us out of nothing. It's a gift to us. That's why John 3:16, which we love so much, says, whoever believes, whoever. It doesn't matter where you are. This good news is for all people, that he's been born to give peace to all, to give salvation to all, to save all. And the only condition is whoever believes. What do you believe? You believe what the Word of God has spoken to you, the life that it's given to you. That is belief. Belief is only saying back what God has said to you. And so, Christmas is God's love story. It's a great love story, the greatest gift of a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And therefore, see, the Christmas story becomes your story. The Christmas story becomes your story. Luke 17, he continues, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Look, the shepherds didn't change the story. They don't improve it. They don't edit it. They simply repeat what has been spoken to them. See, the miracle is not that they repeat the story, but that they know it is for them. Their hearts had been awakened from fear to faith, courageous faith, to just drop everything and go. To go see this creator of the universe that takes on flesh, this Holy One that lies in a manger. A Savior has come, not in power, but humanity and as a servant. And suddenly, it's no longer somebody else's story, it's their story. And the same is true for you. Faith is not something we manufactured. It's not something that's a warm fuzzy. It's what the Holy Spirit creates in us. When the Spirit opens our ears to hear and awakens our heart to His love, we realize that this love story is for you. It's for me. Not because we chose Christ, but because Christ has chosen you. He has chosen us. Mary shows a little bit what faith looks like. Verse 19, Mary treasures up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She's pondering how she has received this great faith, this great gift. Faith has moved her to treasure this gift that now has been bestowed to her. And faith, she acts in trust. She has no idea what her future is like. How she provide, how they live, how it will all happen. But this is what she knows, that this little child is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior, the Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel. He is the one who has come to her and will be with her in the journey. And what the shepherds do, verse 20, they glorify praising God for all they heard and seen. Again, worship is not something that just happens in an hour. Worship is a life shaped by a story of God's grace. And the miracle of Christmas is this. The Christ who came once in Bethlehem still comes to you through his word, through the waters of baptism, through his body and blood shed for you in his supper. He comes to you. Christmas is not only something we remember, it's something we receive. We get to receive Christ. And his grace, and his peace. See, today the story of Christmas has been opened before you again. God is speaking, God is giving, and God is coming to you. And where Christ comes, forgiveness is given, peace is extended, hope is born. And so today, you have received this in your hearing. So this is not just a story among many. This is the story. It is God's love story. It is a story of God with us, a love story for sinners, a story that should shape every other story. So how do we respond? We treasure it. As we celebrate it, we treasure it, and we trust Him. And as we live, knowing that He came for us and that He is with us, Christ the Lord, the Prince of Peace. Emmanuel. And so therefore we respond as ones who believe. And therefore I invite you to rise and we make our profession of faith in this Christmas creed together. I believe in God, the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, who sent his Son, my Savior, on Christmas Day. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again to free us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in Christ of Christmas, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I am ever led to lay before the feet of Christ the treasures of my love, and live under him as my King, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we have the opportunity to respond to God's great love for us and his love story by honoring him with what he's blessed us with in our offerings. And so today you have an offering envelope, or you can do the text to give or online as a way of continuing our worship to worship our King and Lord, who is our Savior. Also in your worship folder, again, is that connection card. If you could be so kind to flip to the back side of the connection card, and you could share with us opportunities we show you how to grow. We want to encourage you to, in your walk, and if you've not been baptized, for us to do that, and to if you want to receive daily devotions based on messages, or if you'd like to say, you know, I've been a follower of Jesus, I just don't know what it means to really be a disciple, that really let that story take heart and shape in me, we'd love to help invite you to a discipleship training and help you walk in that together. Opportunities to make some next steps and plan to connect in your future. We got a new series on January 4th called Grounded. I hope you would love to be there. Our normal regular year-round worship schedule at this time is printed there on your right-hand side of your bulletin at Edwell Lane. We are doing 8 o'clock and 9:20. For those who are familiar, we used to have that 9:20 at Shunk Gully. They're going through renovations. If you have not seen that, it's a big mess there. And so we're not there. We will be moving back there. And then you can see we Inlet Beach also, and then 11 o'clock here. And welcome to join online. We also invite you to consider a partnership class coming up. There's two opportunities to get connected, get to know Hope and what we're about and what God's moving and where we're headed. And if you would like to come alongside after being through that class, you don't have to commit. But we invite you to partake and get to learn and see where God's leading and what part you are that. And then life groups will kick up in January, too, for our next semester. And I forgot the book all of a sudden that we're going to do now. What was it? Hosea. We're going to take a book that you're probably not familiar with, but it has an incredible message in it of Hosea. And so I encourage you, if you want to join in those life groups as we go through that opportunity too, and then you see men and women opportunities too. So as we continue our worship, we invite you to come forward and put your offering envelope and your connection cards in the respective sides as we continue to worship together.
Given